Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
This is pretty cool stuff, a Hank Aaron mural. And it's really, really beautiful, actually. It's such a history in our city. Cecilia Gore with the Brewers Foundation is with us, coming up in about 6 minutes. But first,
this is the 5 o'clock Focus on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
Today we focus once again on a story that's pretty important. It's MMSD, the sewerage district. What's going on with overflows? How do we prevent them in the future? That sort of thing. WTMJ's Adam Roberts is in the studio with kind of an interesting development. What's going on, Adam?
Well, John and Julia, let's take a little trip back to last week. You may recall in the news, there was a report of a clog that was potentially identified as a contributor to some of the flooding that we saw in certain parts of Milwaukee and how bad it was. Think the Bayview area, some Southside neighborhoods downstream of some of our rivers and from the Jones Island MMSD facility. Well, this clog was reported on Wednesday, sort of amplified by a statement from Alderwoman Marina Dmitrievich, who represents the Bayview area. Other electeds kind of piling in on this and demanding some answers to some questions. How did it get this bad? Who was responsible for this, etc.? So last week, in response to the questions and the unveiling of this clog, the head of the MMSD, Kevin Schaefer, their executive director, went in front of reporters and pretty quickly suggested the district's operator, Veolia, who we've mentioned before in some of this reporting, was not at fault for the clog.
Some people will ask, I'm sure, whether this was a MMSD responsibility or Veolia. I'm guessing that question's coming. This is an MMSD responsibility. It was not Veolia at all. They're responsible for inspecting it when we tell them to, but because it was submerged, we never told them to do it because it was too hard to get into it.
So as we've reported before, Veolia is this large company that is paid a pretty big deal of money to operate our city's sewage treatment facilities, the Milorganite factory, etc. However, they've also been sparring in the verbal court, if you will, with this advocacy group Common Ground, which about 3 months ago now began their claims that this company routinely is mismanaging wastewater treatment plants, Jones Island and South Shore. There's two of them in our area. So on Thursday, after Kevin went forward with this press conference with the reporters, they issued a statement in which they said the clog reaffirms testimony from their whistleblowers who they've been working with that have alleged that Veolia is causing needless amounts of basement backups and lake dumps, and that both Veolia and MMSD are, quote, shirking their responsibilities. That's a direct quote from the statement. Fast forward a day later, I was able to obtain a cease and desist order Veolia sent to Common Ground, formally serving it, demanding they retract the claims in the statement. They were given 72 hours to do so. This was late on Friday. It's now late in the day on Monday. So far, Common Ground has not put out any sort of statement. I did reach out to them earlier this morning to see where things stood with that. They said they were still consulting with leadership on an official response. Unclear what sort of legal action could unfold from this. You know, typically with a cease and desist, it's in the neighborhood of defamation, but I have nothing to suggest that that has been filed.
Right. Like, what's the remedy? What if they don't, what could happen?
And I don't have an answer to that right now.
Adam, in which order was the clog found? Was it when Alderwoman Dmitrievich said, hey, my constituents are saying something's wrong here and there's a major dump going on to Lake Michigan? Or did the Milwaukee Sewerage District decide to tell Veolia to look?
So that's a good question, Julia. So the order of operations from how it unfolded last week was this statement came out from the alderwoman. It was pretty early in the morning, I think, on Wednesday, that she had just been informed by the Department of Public Works that the clog was an issue. Then there was a story out in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Caitlin Luby expanded upon that. She had talked with the alderwoman or spoken to the alderwoman. Then that afternoon, Kevin Schaefer goes in front of the microphone. Then the following day, Common Ground releases the statement. Then Friday, the cease and desist order comes out.
All right. A lot to stay on top of. Adam is on top of it. WTMJ's Adam Roberts. Thank you, Adam.
Of course.
All right. This is really, really cool. The Brewers celebrating Hank Aaron's legacy with a really cool mural celebration that took place today on the 50th anniversary of Aaron's historic 755th and final career home run. We are joined by Cecilia Gore, Executive Director of the Brewers Community Foundation. Cecilia, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So if you text the word watch as we're talking to Cecilia, you can see the mural. Text the word watch to 855-616-1620. You get to see the mural and see some of the ceremony from today. It was really, really special. Cecilia, tell us about Hank Aaron and why his legacy is so important to Milwaukee.
Well, as you know, he was considered one of the greatest players of all time in Major League Baseball. And we were fortunate to have him in Milwaukee. Countless people know about him and his legacy. And to witness the 755th home run 50 years ago was just short of remarkable. So we're thrilled that we're able to continue to extend his legacy and tell his story for generations to come.
Cecilia, Bud Selig was there, and Hank Aaron's widow, Billy, my goodness, her speech. What was it like to see Hank Aaron's widow and Bud Selig together?
I just teared up, to be quite honest. I know the regard that he had for both Billy and Henry Aaron. And so to see them together, reminding each other of old times and telling a few stories was just very touching and moving. And then when I listened to his remarks, you could just feel the sincerity and his genuine regard for all that the two of them are.
And to see Bud Selig there, I mean, to see Billy there, to see Bud Selig there. Cecilia, talk a little bit about the legacy that the Brewers have really created.
Well, I think we're just continuing what we did when he was alive. We were able to bring him to Milwaukee minimally once a year. And, you know, beyond just playing baseball, he had a strong commitment to the community. So we started a fund here called Chasing the Dream, and they have one in Atlanta. And when he came to Milwaukee, we would always do a fundraising dinner and add money to that fund so that we can provide scholarships and other types of support in the community. So we're just continuing to extend that. Tonight we will be providing a check to an organization so that they can start what they're calling a 755 Dreams Scholarship Fund at the Greater Milwaukee Foundation. So this is really where his heart was and what he wanted to do in the community. And I'm just proud of the opportunity to continue that here.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And the mural is located right outside the Senior Center on MLK Drive on the 3000 block. Can you describe how was this mural made? It's so beautiful.
It is beautiful. There's an artist, her name is Rosie Petrie, and she had done a series of Negro League renderings. And the one that we have done as the mural, I actually have it in my office, and it's a quilted piece. So this is put together with material and quilts. And I have had this for quite some time. And I feel like it was Henry Aaron that was saying, you need to get me out of my office and let everyone see this thing. And so when this celebration came up, I just thought, wow, this would be an amazing mural. And as you know, the Brewers have put some pretty iconic murals throughout the city. And now this just adds to that collection.
So the Brewers Community Foundation does so much good work. Is it easier when the Brewers are playing so well, or is it more fun when the Brewers are playing so well, Cecilia?
I think it's always easy to support the community, and we have such generous fans that whether the team is playing well or not, they want to do good, and they partner with us to do that. But I will say that when the team is doing great, then we have a sellout and we have more people buying our 50-50 raffle tickets and eyes on our work. So Yeah, we'll take it any day.
Cecilia Gore is the executive director of the Brewers Community Foundation. I love this, the presentation tonight. And if you're going to the game, you can visit Brewers Community Foundation's Hank Aaron tables near the gate entrances, purchase a collectible pin, Hank Aaron tribute pin, and the proceeds go to Chasing the Dream Fund, Greater Milwaukee Foundation. Cecilia, thank you so much for what you do for our community, and thanks for spending a little bit of time with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
What a week it was last week. So Sara Rodriguez announces, I got a little bit of a problem. Sara Rodriguez announces, I'm out of the race. David Crowley is back in the race. He is now once again running for governor in the Democratic primary in Wisconsin. And David's with us live in the studio. Good to see you. Thanks for being here, David.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on with John and Julia. J&J, huh?
Oh, I like that. The J&J show. So we heard the story at your announcement about your wife, and she asked for a sign, and she got the sign, and you got back into the race. I want to ask you about the step before that. So as people started to reach out to you and started to call you, and you had to go to Erica, your wife, and say, honey, I think this maybe is something we should think about. What was her initial reaction to you getting back in?
It was absolutely not, to be honest with you. I mean, when you think about running for governor, also still have three daughters, doing the county exec work, I mean, it has been taxing. And I love my wife, and she understands the sacrifice that we make as a family to do the work on the behalf of the community. So in the very beginning, it was absolutely not. And we continued to say that until we decided to pray, and she received her sign.
She saw a cardinal, John, fly right in front of
her
office.
Pretty cool.
All right. So what was the thought process of you stepping down and dropping out at first? Was it because of that $1 million buy that Rebecca Rodriguez was going to have? And now we realize she only raised about $35,000 and you raised hundreds of thousands of dollars more? Is it because you thought you weren't raising as much as her?
Well, I would say that, you know, when you look at the totality of the field, I was looking at what all the candidates had and what we were doing. And so, you know, after talking with my wife, it was like, is the path really there? And so when you're seeing these numbers come from the campaigns, you know, you trust these numbers, right? And so, unfortunately, what happened to our lieutenant governor is extremely disappointing, to be quite honest with you. I was extremely angry. When everything happened, right, and I'll be honest, like the lieutenant governor called me the Sunday night before her announcement. And was I disappointed, upset? Absolutely. But I told her, I'm still behind you. You know, I understand when you have people working for you how sometimes these things can happen. But let's just make sure that there's no more surprises moving forward. And so I'm still going to back you. But when she made the announcement, that's when I started getting more phone calls and more phone calls and more phone calls to get back into this race. But we didn't make the decision until Friday. You know, and, you know, we prayed about it and, you know, it was, and now we're here, you know. And what's interesting is that who would have thought that that would have came with a Governor Evers endorsement. And since the announcement and the rally that we had Saturday, we have seen tremendous amount of support across the entire state. A lot of grassroots supporters, the fundraising, everything has increased within the past week. And so I'm looking forward to riding this momentum all the way through August 11th.
I'm sure you saw it, Governor Evers' endorsement much earlier in the process. It didn't come. He didn't endorse anybody. Why now? Why didn't he endorse you initially if now you're his guy?
You know, you would have to ask the governor on why he waited this long. Would I would have wanted it earlier? Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I'm not sure exactly why the governor made his decision. But, you know, to have a governor who has not only run, but he's won statewide office, ran for statewide office, and has governed. And so to have his confidence in my judgment, in my leadership, it means a lot. And so I know that just giving the governor's endorsement doesn't mean it's going to be a cakewalk. I have to earn every single support across this state, and that's what I look forward to doing.
To be out and then back in within maybe a week or so?
9 days.
Okay, what is your mind, your body, everything going through?
It was a whirlwind. Let's just be honest with you. I mean, you think about all the emotions of being sad, being angry, being disappointed, but also kind of like the excitement of, you know, I'm going to enjoy the rest of my summer. I mean, I'll be honest with you. You know, this is another sacrifice getting back into this race. You know, because I'm telling people, all those who are listening, please buy travel insurance, because we booked a trip to Jamaica that I'm no longer going to be able to go on. And so there's it's a ball of emotions in its totality. But I know we made the right decision. Where we are today, I feel really good. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm elated. But it's also channeling all those other emotions that I felt within the past week into the type of passion, the fire that we need on behalf of all Wisconsinites. Because at the end of the day, you know, being a Democratic nominee, it's not about these candidates. It's not about me at all. It's about the people of Wisconsin. And ultimately, our goal is to defeat whoever the Republican nominee will be this upcoming November.
David Crowley is with us in the studio. So Mandela Barnes is trashing you. He said David Crowley left this race for a reason. He and his allies spent nearly $1 million, gained no traction. Did you have a conversation with Mandela Barnes about the possibility of him dropping out of the race?
I've never had that conversation with any candidate, to be honest with you. And I know that people try to say that I've tried to push candidates out, but I don't think that you should be asking any candidate, right, what you think they should be doing in their own race. And so Mandela, Fran, Joel, Kelda, you know, they have their own decisions to make when it comes down to their campaign. And you know, while he may be trashing me and while I left this campaign, I came back for a reason. I came back to win this upcoming August. So
how do you keep track of your ledger? And how often do you look at how much you raised, how much is going out and going in with your campaign?
Well, I have direct access to the programs that we use when it comes down to fundraising. So actually, while I'm making phone calls, I see my numbers in real time. So I know exactly what we're bringing in and what we have spent. But it's not just me, right? It's making sure that you have those checks and balances. So you have my campaign manager, the deputy campaign manager, and all those there to make sure that they're doing their due diligence. And so, you know, especially after what happened this past week, I think everybody's paying attention to their home campaign finance reports.
So if Sarah Rodriguez were to endorse you, would you embrace it? Would you campaign with her? Would you stand with her on a stage?
Oh, I mean, yes, I would. You know, I think the lieutenant governor, you know, she's a stand-up woman. You know, she is a nurse by background. She has done a lot for the state of Wisconsin as lieutenant governor. And she's done a lot as a state representative, right? Flipping, you know, a deep red seat in Waukesha, you know, into a blue seat. And so I have a lot of respect for her. And, you know, honestly, like, I'm also upset for her, right? I'm also disappointed for her because of the way that this all went down, because she was on the rise, you know, within the past a few weeks, few months, if you will. And so I would welcome that. But I think she needs her space right now. Right. With all that has happened, you know, it's about making sure that, you know, getting if she decides to get involved, I want to make sure she's in the right place, because you have to take care of yourself, especially when you're involved in politics. And all of the vitriol we now see, you know, online coming from different places on both sides of the aisle. So you just got to give some people their space. But I would absolutely welcome it.
We're talking to the Milwaukee County Executive and gubernatorial candidate for Governor David Crowley. So if you became governor, you would also be breaking a huge barrier. You would be the first Black governor of Wisconsin. And you just came from Hank Aaron, the event, and he was going to break Babe Ruth's home run record, he got a lot of flack, a lot of racism towards him. So how big of a deal is it for you as a Black man to run for governor and possibly run the state?
You know, that's a great question, you know, because it means a lot to me personally, but I also know what it means to the rest of this community, right? When you think about the city of Milwaukee, specifically Black communities in Madison, Beloit, Racine, Kenosha, Green Bay, all across the entire state, I know they look at me and say, you know, thank you for being the example. Thank you for being, you know, the motivation to me. And for me, my goal is to just do the work. You know, I always say my job is not to be the first. My job is to make sure I'm not the last. You know, I remember when I became the first African-American county executive and the youngest at 33. And it can take a huge toll on you. And it makes you feel like you have this level of imposter syndrome almost, you know. But, you know, I was able to navigate because I got business coaching, and I was able to talk to my mentors and talk to people outside of the state of Wisconsin who don't have the, you know, the political perspective that we have here, to basically get a better understanding of how to make decisions. And so, you know, when I think about being the first African-American to be elected, first Black man to be elected as the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, it's not lost on me. But that's not why I'm here. You know, this is about how do we make sure that we can fully invest in our public schools across the entire state, right? How do we make sure that we are holding data centers accountable? How do we make sure that people can make a fair wage, be able to afford to live in their home and be able to afford their groceries or gas at the pump? Like, those are the things that really matter throughout this race. And those are the things that I want to focus on. But I also know that history, you know, we can't make history with this race, but that's not the goal. And if we do make history, it's because we won by a landslide, I'm hoping.
So some polling shows Francesca Hong in the top spot. Is she too liberal? Is she too left? Is she too non-traditional for Wisconsin?
You know, I think we're having the wrong conversations, right? Because, you know, whether we're talking about on the Democratic Party side or on the Republican Party side, like, we all have different factions, right? And I think that right now our job is to figuring out, yes, you can support your candidate, but we still have to unite at the end of the day after August 11th to make sure that we are moving forward. And so for me, I'm in this race because I have the judgment. I have the receipts as far as what I've done leading the largest county in the state of Wisconsin. And the fact that we've built statewide coalitions and worked with the Republican legislature to bring resources back to Milwaukee and every community. This shouldn't be about how far left, how far right. This is about who's going to be able to do the job on day one, because Wisconsin are going to be facing a lot of challenges, whoever the next governor is.
David Crowley is the Milwaukee County Executive and a Democratic candidate for governor. We appreciate it, David. Thank you so much for making some time for us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.